welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for the half-year call for EP Infrastructure to 30th of June 2022. I'm delighted, as always, to be joined by Václav Palacek, who is the Group Finance Director of EPIF. We are currently in an unprecedented period for Europe, for European energy markets, and, of course, for the supply of gas to Europe. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of our management and staff in all of our operating companies for a truly incredible effort over the last 6 months. In this context, therefore, we are pleased to present our results for the operating period ended 30th of June 2022. And I'll start with our presentation, which is on our website and page 5. For those of us who remember our presentations, I try and summarize each year's results with a small statement. In 2019, I described the results as simply extraordinary. In 2020, as exceptional. In 2021, as unfortunately predictable. In 2022, I think it is too early for me to make a statement on these results. I would simply point you to that famous football statement that it's possibly a game of two halves. So if we look at EP Infrastructure, we continue to be a leading Central European group. We operate traditional energy infrastructure assets. Our markets are the same, our businesses are the same, and our strategy is the same in that we wish to operate regulated or long-term contracted assets which have a critical feature of converting a substantial part of their operating results into free cash flow. If we now look at the results for the last 12 months compared to the 12-month period ending 31st December 2021, I can take you through quickly through the numbers. So the adjusted EBITDA for the 12 months ended 30th of June 2022 was €1,286 million. This compares to the 12-month period ended 31st December 2021 of €1,277 million. So indeed, we're pleased to announce a 1% increase in our adjusted EBITDA. Proportionate net leverage at 30th of June fell to 4.09 compared to 4.26 times in the end of 2021. The adjusted free cash flow for the last 12 months amounted to €584 million, which is a fall from €785 million in the full year 2021. This is attributable in whole to our margining at our district heating business, and Václav will take you through this in much greater detail. The group cash conversion also fell to 45% from 62%, and again, this is exclusively on our margining calls, and excluding our margining calls, I think we can confirm that our cash conversion actually rose in comparison. So in summary, the performance on the EBITDA level was broadly comparable last 12 months to the financial year 2021. There are some cash flow issues which are primarily around our margining at our district heating businesses. In March 2022, EPIF shareholders expressed their commitment, which remains in place, to postpone any dividend distributions from EPIF and indeed to undertake no acquisitions by the EPIF group until the situation stabilizes. Clearly, there are significant volatilities in the market, and these need to have significant more visibility before the above statement on dividends and acquisitions would change. Namely, we continue to have a military invasion of Ukraine. We continue to have issues with regards to potential sanctions that could arise related to this. There is an extremely unclear situation around Russian gas flows. There are clearly elevated commodity prices, high inflation, and in the energy markets, we continue to have extreme weather affecting hydro production in Europe, coupled with a reduction of the French nuclear fleet by 50%. If we move to page 6, we just iterate the core commitments of the group Nothing has changed here year on year. We are committed to maintain our investment grade, and in fact, with regards to Moody's, to reestablish our investment grade as time and circumstances permit. If we move then to page 8, the group structure remains as it is, 4 core divisions, gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage, and heat infra, or district heating. We continue to operate in Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Germany, and our assets continue to show a stable and resilient operating performance in the last 12 months. If we look at the table on the right, we have some key numbers for you, just reiterating the first summary we made. The adjusted EBITDA, in fact, rose slightly compared to the full year 2021. Proportionate EBITDA was more impressive, $712 million compared to $686 million, reflecting the performance of our district heating business. Adjusted free cash flow fell, as did group cash conversion, primarily due to our margining calls at district heating, which Václav will take you through later. On page 9, I give you a quick summary of the operating results of our divisions. Gas transmission, only a small decrease in adjusted EBITDA from $479 million to $469 million, an extremely positive cash conversion of 94%. And here, clearly the key KPIs that you wish to see, the gas transmission for the 12 months of 2021 were 41.6 billion cubic meters, and that has now fallen for the 12 months ended 30th of June to 37.4 billion cubic meters. We do continue to point out that our revenues in this business are secured by a long-term ship or pay contract. In gas and power distribution, again, a positive display from 521 million, which was an extraordinary year for our DSOs, to 505 million euro. Cash conversion remaining extremely good at 83%. The key KPIs here you want to see is clearly power, where we distributed 6.4 terawatt hours compared to 6.4 terawatt hours. So the key message here is, as of yet, there has been little demand reduction in the electricity markets that we operate. However, you can see the beginnings of what I would describe as demand destruction in the gas supply business, with the volumes distributed dropping from 59.2 to 54.4. In gas storage, the result has moved from 179 million to 150 million. Gas storage had an exceptional year last year with very high winter-summer spreads. The beginning of this year began with zero, and in fact negative, winter-summer spreads, which reflects the drop in the performance, although extremely pleasing for storage. The upside of the business is clearly district heating, or heat infra, where the EBITDA rose from 104 million to 168 million. Power production is the key driver of this. Although the amount of heat sold fell, clearly the elevated energy prices are gradually feeding into improved results of our district heating business, which we believe will continue. So in summary, the diversified group of 4 divisions was able to post 1,286 million EBITDA compared to 1,277 million EBITDA. The first half of the year, extremely satisfying and reflecting an enormous amount of hard work put in by our management and staff. If we move to page 10, however, we start to look where we are now and where we continue to be as we sit here in early September. There is continued uncertainty related to the natural gas supply to Europe. The military invasion of Ukraine continues. Sanctions have been imposed, and it may well be that the sanctions regimes will be increased further. Natural gas volumes flowing via Nord Stream 1 have now been completely interrupted and stopped. It is questionable whether those supplies through Nord Stream 1 will be resumed. The current indications are they will not be resumed until Western sanctions are lifted. However, politics and reality are sometimes different. During May 2022, Gazprom has halted pipeline gas deliveries to Poland and Eastern Germany via the Yamal pipeline. So as we speak today, the flows of gas through the Brotherhood pipeline, which comes through Veľký Kapušiany and therefore into the Ustream network, is still operating. It is operating at reduced flows, currently around 37 million cubic meters a day, after there was a declaration of force majeure by the Ukrainian TSO and the closure of the gas transit entry point at Sokranitka, which is in the occupied territory of Luhansk. It is clearly uncertain as we move into the winter period whether there will be any further reductions or interruptions in the supply of natural gas. And this uncertainty remains and should be taken fully into account. The second clear point for the second half year is the increased commodity prices. These continue to increase due to the invasion and due to the energy markets. Extreme weather has compounded the problems of natural gas supply to Europe, both with significantly diminished hydro production as a result of drought and the closure of nearly 50% of the French nuclear fleet. The European Union has recently introduced emergency measures such as capping prices and coordinated demand reduction across the EU. I think it's clear to say that the EU efforts so far have fallen short, and the focus of the European Union should simply be on the illiquidity of the energy markets and the focusing of dismantling the electricity pricing models we currently have in Europe, and certainly decoupling the linkage between gas and electricity. From a macro level, we now currently have, of course, record-breaking inflation and a significant risk of inflation, which you're well aware of. So this is the global and specific energy market world that we currently live in. The main impacts are on page 11, and here we would describe three core risks to the business. Clearly, counterparty risk. The Russian shipper is a SIP or paid contract until 2028. We'd like to state clearly as of today, 16th of September 2022, that the EPIF Group has not experienced any delay in capacity payments in respect to the payment obligations of its counterparties. The second risk is clearly on strategic hedging that we've made for the purposes of risk management. As of 30th of June 2022, Ustream continues to have a significant volume of gas in kind hedged for the period 2022 to 2024. Ustream receives gas in kind from shippers as a pre-agreed fixed percentage of actual commercial gas flows for its operational and technical needs. As Ustream is legally required to maintain the transmission network balance, it disposes of a surplus of gas by selling it to the market. Due to the earlier mentioned macroeconomic conditions, in particular, lower volumes of gas being shipped, Ustream is exposed to the risk that the volume of gas in kind received may be insufficient to cover the volume hedged. Liquidity risk. Due to the significant increase in electric, gas and other commodity prices, which imposes significant margining risk on the group. As of 30th of June 2022, the EPIF Group deposited €339 million to the commodity exchange, the requirement of which primarily relates to a net position of power production in heat infra and sourcing of supply business for EP Energy Trading. We'd also like to state that as of 16th of September 2022, and also thanks to the active management of the group's liquidity position, the EPIF Group is meeting all of its obligations, including its financing agreements. We continue to have active risk management, and we continue to analyze the situation on an ongoing business basis, and we continue to take mitigating measures almost on a daily basis, the results of which I think can be seen in the first half 2022 results, which I believe will be quite a surprise to some of you. If we move to page 12, a quick analysis of what you already know on the ratings, we've been able to maintain investment grade ratings with Standard & Poor's and Fitch, and unfortunately we were not able to maintain our investment grade with Moody's. I think to define the split between the two is basically how S&P and Fitch look at the gas risk compared to Moody's. We continue to therefore continue not to have any dividend distributions from EPIF or any acquisitions undertaken by the EPIF group. And we remain, as stated on our website, committed to the maintenance and the re-establishment of our investment grade ratings. On page 13, we reiterate some of the core ESG pillars and strategy of the business, despite the energy crisis and, in fact, the increased production of electricity at our lignite plants. We remain totally committed to the objectives we've laid down and are contained in our latest sustainability report, which you can find on our website. If we then move to the financial section, page 16, I'm delighted to pass over to Václav Palacek, who's had a very quiet year so far. So Václav, over to you to do some work. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary, and well, welcome to everyone from me as well. And also thanks for taking your time to listening us today in such a volatile times. So what I have prepared for you is the analysis of performance in H1 2022, and then I'll have a fairly quick update on our capital structure and liquidity position as of June 2022. The figures I'll be using are derived from IFRS interim consolidated accounts for 6 months period ended 30th of June 2022, were reviewed by an independent auditor and are available on our website. So let's start with slide number 16, showing our balance sheet. As you would expect, the majority of our assets are reported in the line property, plant and equipment, in fact almost 80% sit here, and there are two key assets. It's gas distribution and gas transit network. Both of them we held at their fair values under a revaluation model, and I'm glad to announce that following to the impairment testing that we performed this summer, no impairment charge has been recorded with respect to those two key assets. Secondly, let me emphasize the increased cash balance that we have as of June 2022. The reasons are twofold. Firstly, we are a cash generative business. And as you know, or as Gary said, since May 2021, EPIF entity has not distributed any dividends. Similarly, SPPI Group made the last dividend declaration in December 2021, well before the Russian invasion and our commitment not to distribute funds. So this is first reason, and secondly, as you know, in March 2022, EPIF entity drew fully its 400 million RCF, and I can confirm we drew that facility fully drawn as of June and also as of today. Thirdly, an experience I would not miss, an increase in other assets, and let me explain that this is because of our elevated margining needs for our heat infra business that Gary was describing. In particular, we had deposited 339 million, 339, as of June 2022, while the balance as of December was 63 million. And speaking of commodity prices, I understand you will be also interested to see what the impact on our financial derivatives. So I provided the balances to this slide. you can see we have plus 486 million. And the fair value of commodity or other derivatives with positive fair value. And on the liability side, you can see almost 1.4 billion negative balance with respect to derivatives with negative fair value. The majority of those balances are represented by commodity derivatives, while the balance mainly by instruments for hedging our FX and interest rate exposure. So the key item is commodity hedging, so let's focus on it. And let me confirm that we conduct commodity hedging purely for risk management purposes. We have three types of hedging relationships. Firstly, it's EU stream strategic hedging, where we fix gas sale price for our gas in kind component. As of June 2022, we have significant volume of gas hedged for period 2022, 3, and 4. Since those are gas sale contracts, price went up. Those contracts are clearly out of the money. Similarly, within our heat infra business, we generate power and sell it upfront. And we are disclosing that as of June, we have 3.6 terawatt hours of our future production sold. It relates to period 2022, 3, and 4. And again, since those are power sale contracts, price went up, those are significantly out of the money. Therefore, the majority of the negative balance, 1.4 billion, relates to EU stream and heat infra hedges for commodity. On contrary, as Gary mentioned, we conduct supply business in the Czech Republic through EP Energy Trading that needs to purchase power from the market. It uses derivatives, and since those are power buy contracts, price went up, those contracts are in the money, so represent majority of the balance of 486 million as of June 2022. I understand you also might be interested to understand what is the average maturity. So in the financials note 19, we are disclosing that the major portion of our financial instruments is short term, meaning maturing by June 2023. And this is, in my view, logical as we do our hedges into the market, which is the most liquid, and for illustration, always the market for upcoming quarter has a greater liquidity than, for instance, for the year 2024. So that's a quick view on our balance sheet. Pretty much stable. We are generating and retaining cash as we are not distributing dividends currently. We drew 400 million RCF, which is the reason for increased gross debt. And we emphasize that we have elevated needs for margining, and also our balance sheet is impacted by rising price of commodities through our financial instruments. With that, we can move on to slide number 17, where we are showing our performance in H1 2022. And we are showing pretty much resilient results despite what was Gary describing in a very dynamic market environment. The reason for the stability is that EPF Group has been put together in a way that we have significant diversification among segments and certain natural hedges. In particular, there is a significant negative correlation between performance of cash transit and heat infra business, which you will see in a minute. So as you can see, adjusted EBITDA H1 2022 versus H1 2021, 1% up thanks to exceptional performance of heat infra business that more than offset somewhat declined performance of other three businesses that are connected with gas. I'll be discussing performance of individual segments on the following slide, and let me complete the helicopter view on our P&L. So you can see EBIT is 6% down, and further, there are two positive effects on our net income. Firstly, we are benefiting from the refinancing that we executed last year, and our interest expense in H1 2022 went 14% down, so it represents 7 million savings on interest, which is truly amazing. And second positive impact is from a revaluation of our interest rate swaps, where we benefited from rising interest rates. However, the revaluation is mostly non-cash item. So with that, let's move to slide number 18, where I am presenting a bridge between H1 2022 performance and H1 2021. For those who would be preferring LTM view, please have a look at slide number 32 in the appendix. Nevertheless, the picture is the very same, logically. So as I said, adjusted EBITDA plus 1%, and let's see individual segments. Gas transmission 5% down due to declined volume shipped through our network. In particular, during first 6 months, we transited 16 billion cubic meters, which is 21% less than what we distributed in the same period last year. Gas and power distribution segment, again, 5% down, and there are three key metrics that I would like to highlight with performance of the segment. Firstly, it's SPP Distributia, the gas distributor, has somewhat declined performance, and this is primarily due to extreme weather conditions in last year, namely February 2021 was very cold, and we had rather exceptional results, while this year's performance is more or less in line with expectation. Secondly, under SSE, we are conducting supply business in Slovakia, and we are facing difficulties as the market is challenging, and we have to fulfill our obligation under the supplier of the last resort, which we are fulfilling. However, it has certain negative impact on our performance. And third matter I would like to highlight is that we have done plus 28 million adjustment into our EBITDA with respect to SSD network losses that are elevated. Since in our view, this is one-off effect caused by external factor, and the gap that we are incurring should be compensated to us by 2024, we are doing this adjustment that is further described in the appendix on slide 35. Gas storage segment down by 29 million. Again, the year-on-year difference is driven by the fact that in storage season and that April 2021, we had exceptional results as the summer-winter spread for that season was elevated as there were higher flows through the region in years 2019-2020, while the summer-winter spread went down for the storage season 2021/2022. Last but not least is the heat infra segment that significantly overperformed. You can see we generated EBITDA of 121 million, which is even more than we generated over full year 2021. And the results or the reasons for the overperformance is twofold. Firstly, we benefited from elevated power prices, power spread. And secondly, we were performing strong on the grid balancing services, where we provide auxiliary services to the Czech TSO. So overall, adjusted EBITDA plus 1% in H1 2022 as compared to H1 2021. Within the business overview section, we will try to provide a hint what you might expect from H2. But before we get to that, let me complete our capital structure. You can see on the slide number 19, there's not many news. You know, historically, we have communicated that we would like to have majority of our debt in bonds, and we would like to maintain approximately 70% of our proportionate gross debt at the holding level and the balance at operating subsidiaries. As of June, we are reporting 85% of our debt in bonds and 76% of our gross proportionate debt at the holding level. which we believe is in line with our guidance and which we believe is cost efficient. Also, our capital structure continues to be driven by our 4.5 times dividend lockup covenant that is calculated as net debt divided by EBITDA on proportionate terms. The covenant is included in EBIF bonds, also in EBIF bank facilities. And our capital structure continues to be driven also by indebtedness limitation, namely at SPPI and SSE level, that are the same as there were at year-end 2021. In terms of key developments, I already mentioned that since May 2021, EBIF has not distributed any dividends. In March 2022, we fully draw 400 million RCF at EBIF. And as a post-balance sheet event, I would like to update you that early in July 2022, SSE secured a new debt under which it drew 140 million. The instruments have 5-year maturity, and on the very same day as we drew the funds, SSE also paid 147 million of dividends to both its shareholders, meaning 49% of those funds were received by EP Energy, the shareholder of SSE Group. With that, let's have a look at slide number 20, where you can see how we calculate the leverage. The balance of cash more than 1 billion translates into 724 million proportionate cash balance. You can see that the gross debt mainly went up by 400 million of debt we drew at EPIF. We are using 712 million LTM adjusted EBITDA, and the resulting leverage is 4.09 times, well below the dividend lockup covenant and also well below 4.3 times targets that we communicate. Also, let me illustrate that the figures that we are looking at are significantly impacted by our margining requirements. I mentioned that we deposited 339 million as of 30th of June. And for illustrative purposes, should we adjust our cash balance for this margining, then our leverage would drop to 3.7. So this is, in my view, important for you to understand how the margining is impacting our net leverage. On the following slide, number 21, we are presenting our group structure, and you can see the places where gross debt and cash sits. There are 3 points I would like to highlight. Firstly, SPPI level, which is for us locked. I mean, cash is locked there, meaning that EPIF as a shareholder of SPPI is not going to suggest any dividend payments. Second level is EPIF entity, and the EPIF as entity and both its shareholders are committed not to distribute any funds up until this situation gets more stable. And third point I would like to make is that even though EPIF has no access to funds from SPPI Group, we still have unrestricted access to funds from Heat Infra Business, from SSE Group, and also EPIF has 40% direct shareholding in NAFTA. So this is also important to understand. And on the last slide, concluding this section, you can see overview of gross debt and our liquidity as of June 2022. And basically, the picture is a result of the refinancing we have done last year when we issued two bonds totaling 1 billion with 10-year maturity. Firstly, through the refinancing, we optimized our cost of debt, and the trend is visible to the right top side of the slide. And secondly, we have optimized debt maturity profile. Currently, the weighted average tenor is 4.8 years. And basically, the major upcoming maturity is April 2024 with 750 million EPIF bonds. And I would like to point out that currently we have more than 1 billion of cash on our accounts. 339 million of cash sitting at the commodity exchange. I already explained that majority of our financial derivatives mature by June 2023. We have a highly cash generative business, additional liquidity of 455 million of undrawn instruments as of June 2022, and frankly there is still time to go and to handle the refinancing. Lastly, let me shortly comment on our announcements to potentially conduct bond buyback. We released that message at the end of June that EPFS entity might execute debt buyback in its sole discretion. And in my view, there are four preconditions. Firstly, it needs to be economically viable, so we would be looking at yield. And both our shareholders are known that they have wide expectation for the return from their investments. So that's first rule. Secondly, if and when doing a buyback, we need to be comfortable with our liquidity position, taking into account margining needs. Thirdly, we need to be comfortable with our overall risk situation, namely the potential black swan at Ustream. And fourth point is that we would like to all market participants to be on the same page, to have access to all key information. Therefore, we are releasing H1 2022 results. And having said that, it's clear that at this moment, we haven't executed the bond buyback. With that remark, I would hand over to Gary to start the business section's highlights.
Thank you, Václav. We'll go through the business sections, I think, fairly quickly. Most of you are fairly aware of these four core divisions. So we'll start with Ustream. In effect, not much has changed, with the exception that the last 12 months gas shipments have gone down to 37 BCM from 42 BCM. Clearly, as you can see from the financial results, Ustream has been able to maintain its financial results despite a drop in the volumes, and this continues to reflect the nature of our ship or pay contracts. I think I'll leave it there because I suspect we're going to get plenty of questions on Russian gas and TSO. So I'll hand over back to Václav now for the gas and power distribution on page 26.
Thank you, Gary. So gas and power distribution segment that primarily comprise of two DSOs, SPP Distribucia, the monopoly gas distributor in Slovakia. Besides industrial customers, we are distributing gas to households, in particular 94% of Slovak households, which means Slovakia is a significantly gasified country, and use gas for heating purposes, which is an element that adds additional stability to our business. And secondly, the segment includes SSD, which is a monopoly power distributor in central Slovakia. I would like to emphasize two matters that we are looking at. Firstly, the SSD supply business, where, as I said, we are under challenging conditions. Among other things, we are fulfilling our obligation of acting as a supplier of the last resort. We are supporting the market, however, it has a certain negative impact on our performance. And secondly, SSD is currently incurring losses with respect to network losses due to increased power prices. Due to a recent change in the regulation relevant purely for 2022, we have to purchase power for losses at spot price while we are compensating at much lower price included in the tariffs for this year. Therefore, we are including a gap that is to be compensated by 2024. And as I said, the gap for H1 was 28 million. And I'm getting to the key matter for the whole segment, which is the regulation. You are aware that the upcoming five-year regulatory period shall commence in January 2023. And at this moment, we are still waiting for details to be published. By that, I mean, we would like to see individual components of the regulatory formula, structure of tariffs, and also the mechanism how increased network losses for both DSOs shall be compensated. So that's the gas and power distribution segment. Quick update on the heat infra business. We described H1 2022 performance as extraordinary, and I believe full year 2022 performance should be also labeled as exceptional. However, to not to have unrealistic expectation from H2, let me emphasize two matters. Firstly, H1 was positively impacted by the fact that we were very successful at the tendering of our services for Czech TSO, which is not guaranteed that we will repeat in H2. And secondly, don't get too excited about the skyrocketed power price in summer. We have conservative hedging policy. We disclosed that as of June, we have hedged 3.6 terawatt hours for production 2022, 3 and 4. And for our exposure towards spot prices in H2 is fairly limited. In other words, power prices at the level around 1,000 euro per megawatt hour hardly would be impacting our P&L account. And with that, Gary, back to you to take us to the storage segment.
So gas storage continues to operate at or in fact above expectations for this year. Again, I suspect there may be some questions, but in essence, gas storage is the winter-summer spreads recovered in the second half of the first half of the year and remain potentially high. Gas storages in that we have and throughout Europe are not only on target for European Union requirements, but actually are significantly ahead. And I would say that all storages in Europe are significantly full as of this date, which is a small positive going into the winter period. But a good, strong performance from our storage division, as always. If we move then to page 31, we'll quickly wrap up and then open up to page 31. So we'll quickly wrap up and then move to Q&A session. We're delighted to make this presentation, and hopefully it's really clear that the first 6 months of this year, and in fact the last 12 months, we're able to generate stable financials reflecting the diverse nature of the group and the quality of the assets that we operate. We've able to produce strong results in the first half of 2022, despite all of the challenging circumstances on the energy markets and around us. We've kept to our commitments on net leverage, and the proportionate net leverage, including our margining, is 4.09, which is down from the end of the 21 year and significantly below our continuous target of 4.3. The financing structure we optimized in 2021, which has led to an extension of our weighted average tenor to 4.8 years, which again gives us a strong financial position. We commit ourselves and maintain to commit ourselves to a financial profile consistent with investment grade ratings. Secondly, we are a strategic asset base and we continue to operate strategic assets. Our infrastructure is critical, it's in stable and developed markets, and we have leading positions in our respective areas of operation. The diversified portfolio, whilst complicated, has surely shown why we have it and why we're able to withstand the uncertainties that we currently see. We also re-emphasize that our assets are so strategic that they continue to be co-owned by the Slovak state. The outlook. A possible deterioration in the second half of 2022 could be driven by the gas transmission segment. As of today, there are no significant adverse impacts which have stemmed from the recent market developments. Until the situation stabilizes, EPIF shareholders continue their intent to not distribute dividends or indeed to not undertake acquisitions. We exercise a very rigorous risk management system. We monitor the current situation on a daily basis, and we actually react on a daily basis. And I think that's shown in the results that the operating companies have been able to produce for the first 6 months. So in summary, it's too early to make a definition of 2022. I would say, in the football terminology, it's possibly a game of two halves, but it's not definitely a game of two halves.